Blog Talk Radio.
Much less detailed, a podcast on a Saturday night, August 16th, 2014. I'm Dre, he's Jay, and Jay, it's all about you tonight. You got the bundle of joy on the way coming up next weekend. Tonight you got the concept for fantasy football that's going to change the way we look at the fantasy world. You got all the ideas, you got all the momentum, as they like to say.
Yep, it's the big mo, right? Is that what it is?
That's right.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're in the middle. Was this week two of the preseason? Nobody really gives a shit. Other than players getting hurt. That's really all that's happening right now in the actual NFL. So we're kind of in that dead zone right now. I mean, nothing really is coming to pass as far as, you know, okay, what's informing my decision-making about who I like and who I don't. You don't get any of that in week two of the preseason. So we thought we'd have a little fun. You and I have been talking for years. We were talking before the show. We don't know which one of us came up with this. Probably a joint effort, kind of spitballing that and just seeing what would stick, and it just, you know, snowballs into something bigger. But for years, and this is probably since back when we started playing fantasy sports, we've always talked about wanting to have the Buster League. I don't know if anybody still uses the term Buster. Are we dating ourselves with that?
Probably. You know, but that's okay. We're old and we know it. Kind of, you know,
we're
sexy and we know it. We're old and we know it. That's our
yeah.
Name. So.
So the whole point, you know, of fantasy football is you have your draft and you take, you know, everybody knows who's good. Everybody's going to draft, you know, Adrian Peterson and LeSean McCoy and Peyton Manning, Drew Brees. Well, wouldn't it be nice to give some love to the busters, as we always called them growing up in the 80s, or the players who really suck? So the whole point of Buster Fantasy Football is to pick a really shitty team and then award positive points for really awful performances. And of course, we always talked about this. So if you have a player, you can't just take a guy who stinks but doesn't play. You need somebody who's going to go out there and excel at being awful but also have some job security. So tooling around online, I went through and created up a league that you and I can decide whether or not that's the format that we're going to keep, but we'll eventually settle on a format here before the season starts, and what we want to do is a test this year. Not roll it out, but basically just get together a group, maybe 4-6 people, you know, just a small number, and have a little draft. We could do it, you know, announce all the results on the show. It's something that we would track periodically through the year, you know, throw a little shout-out on the blog, do a little recap with our Wednesday night recap show. But basically to see how, almost like an experiment, a very experimental thing, see how it holds up as far as creating something competitive and something fun and how excited you get when you draft a quarterback who goes out and throws two pick sixes in a game and gives you some astronomical amount of fantasy points. Thanks. But then throws three touchdowns and loses you fantasy points in the process. So it's really interesting. We were joking a little bit before the show about being the guy in the bar jumping up and down for Matt Schaub last year because he was throwing a pick six every game. You could have ridden him to a Buster League title.
Yeah, the guy would be in tears. But be like, CEO, That's my quarterback.
Yeah.
That's my boy right there.
So as it stands right now, with you know, and I tried this on Yahoo. Not a plug or anything, and just that's the service that we usually do our friends league on for real fantasy football. And put in the stats, went through the stat categories, and you know, and it really is apparent that quarterbacks and defenses jump out. It's really not easy to track negative stats for receivers and backs. It's easy for kickers. It's actually easier for kickers because you can all of a sudden start doing misses. But, most kickers are so accurate that kickers really shouldn't apply. So set it up, put it through, put all the point filters in. Spend about a good hour, hour and a half tweaking the results because what I was trying to look for were a little bit of symmetry between the worst quarterbacks and the worst defenses. Kind of achieved that. We were talking a little bit right before the show about the results that it spit out. Very balanced and almost what you would expect. You know, you immediately said Matt Schaub. Without even looking in the site, you're thinking, oh, Matt Schaub, because you saw what the point system was and you saw the huge bonuses for the pick six. And everybody knows that horrible run that he went through last year before he finally got benched. So he put up what would have been the fifth worst or best, if you're trying to win the Buster League, fantasy year, which is incredible considering he didn't start a lot of games.
Yeah, but all the pick sixes he threw, and tell him how many points you award in your league for throwing a pick six.
Well, we threw up 40 points for a pick six. Now, keep in mind, last year, the most pick sixes thrown, that was not by Matt Schaub, it was four for Schaub. Five pick sixes were thrown by Geno Smith.
Wow.
Five pick sixes last year for Geno Smith. But Geno Smith also lost a ton of fumbles. He also got sacked a lot. So, he also threw touchdowns. He also rushed for touchdowns. So, and that all sort of brings the numbers down. So, for the full season, he ended up with 381 points, which was a lot. I mean, even when we play regular fantasy football, if you have a guy for the whole year who'll put up 300, 400 points, that's legitimate. And, that put him about 30 points or so ahead of Eli Manning, who was a little bit ahead of Flacco, and then Ryan and Schaub. And going down the list, it would be a lot of the guys you'd expect, some guys you don't expect. And then you start getting into the good players. But even the good players were all still, 150, 200-point range. So it's possible in this format to have a good player, possibly with a bad matchup or somebody has a bad day. So it's really interesting because, if you were to think about this as being a 10-team league and everybody drafted two quarterbacks, there's going to be some untouchable guys. Nobody's going to draft Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning could go undrafted in this league, and that's the fun. If it grew, you'd almost end up with somebody's going to get stuck having to play a quote-unquote good quarterback or take a flyer on a guy nobody's ever heard of, somebody who's getting a start because the starter's injured, some backup or a scrub. All of a sudden, those guys are going to be top of the waiver wire. Like last year, we had Jeff Toole probably would have been an immediate pickup. So we're going to try it out, a little experiment, have some fun with it. We like to sort of throw. We sort of like to be a little bit off at times with the things that we do and the things that we try.
That's one way to put it. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think this kind of fits in because we like to pick the games. We do good at it, but we also like to have fun. And I think this sounds like fun, and it looks like it's really close to being workable. So we're looking for two more people. So let's anybody who listens, people do listen. We do have listeners. anybody wants to listen, why don't you go through the ways they can get a hold of us and get on this, get in this league with us?
You can always email the show. We're still waiting for our first email. And you would send that to inmuchlessdetail@gmail.com. You can always tweet us your thoughts. If you're into the modern age and you don't do anything except for tweet people, you can tweet me at IMLDDre, and then Dr. Dre. And you can tweet Jason at IMLDJTG. And you can also go to our blog, which is inmuchlessdetail.blogspot.com, and you can always leave a comment there. And, of course, you can want to subscribe to the show on iTunes to get the full show, this half hour live and also the 15-minute after show. And you would just search for In Much Less Detail, the podcast, on iTunes. I'd get that plug in as well while we're going through plugs. But, yeah, we have been, like you said, we've been talking about this for years and years and years just as a joke, because it's putting a different group of brain muscles to work, so to speak, because when you're as much into football and baseball, fantasy sports as we are, you see all the good like everybody else does. You see some of the in-depth good, the guys who are bubbling underneath, who not everyone knows their names, but you see, you know, you see it pop on your screen when someone, you know, throws, you know, a 97-mile-an-hour fastball that moves, or, you know, 89-mile-an-hour circle change that just disappears, like Justin Verlander. Like I remember watching Justin Verlander with you before anyone knew who he was and going, oh, shit, that dude's nasty. He's going to be pretty good. And we also see the guys that you go, ooh, he really blows. And why is he out on the field? And total fraud jumps to mind when I think of that, Mark Sanchez. You just shake your head and go, why is he playing? He's obviously bad at this. Blaine Gabbert is another one. Christian Ponder is another one. So those other brain muscles where you see guys who clearly don't belong on the field, you get to put those brain muscles to use if you have a Buster League, like we're calling it, and you get all the stats that show, okay, you see this running back who fumbles a lot, you know, here's a place where you can put those brain muscles to use, where you can put that knowledge to work. You're gathering this knowledge in your head. Because you're gathering this knowledge anyway if you're a fantasy player, because these are the guys that you're making sure that you never in a million years pick up on your real fantasy team. So you know who these guys are. You know exactly who they are. They're the motherfuckers that you look at in the last round of your draft when you're going down the list of who's still left, and you go, no, not him, not him, not him. Hell no, never him, not him, not him. The guys that you're going through during the bye weeks when you're trying to find replacements for your studs, and you're looking down the list and you're going, not him, not him. I know he's got a starting job, but no, I'm not using him because I know he sucks. These are the guys you already know are no good at football. So put those muscles to use in another way and pick them up first and second and third round and cherry pick them and make sure that they're in your starting lineup when they go out there and throw those five pick sixes in a row like Matt Schaub did last year, however many weeks in a row, or Geno Smith, who every time he played on the road seemed to have a tendency to fumble three times and throw a pick six. It was unbelievable how terrible he was away from New York. It's interesting. It's something, you know, it's a new concept. I think it could be a lot of fun. We'll still bounce around and look at different websites and see if there's other sites out there maybe where we can make another custom league that has more stats. Because as Jason was telling you, on Yahoo, there's not that many negative stats really to make a Buster League work. So at the moment, the way he's got it set up, there's only two positions that's really worth drafting, quarterback and defense, because that's where you really get the negative points racked up, or positive in our case, all the incompletions, incomplete passes. He's got a half a point for each one of those. He's got 6 points for an interception, 3 points if you get your ass sacked. Like he said, 40 points if you throw a pick six. That's the money ball right there, folks. That, if you like playing the lottery, that's what you want to do. You want to get that lottery ticket, that guy that likes to throw the ball to the other team and watch him run back the other way and do the Deion dance. We know who they were last year. Like Jason said, Geno Smith, Matt Schaub, those are the top guys. If you want those pick sixes, that's who you would draft. In defense, you can get Jason was able to go from the different tiers that they have for points allowed in the league, or in a game, rather. So if you allow 21 to 27 points in a game, then you pick up 15 points for the Buster Fantasy League. If you allow 28 to 34 points, you pick up 20 points for your Fantasy League. And if you go over 35, like certain teams like to do last year, like, say, the Bears or the Cowboys, then you pick up 30 points. So, yeah, and yards allowed as well, similar tier for that. If you just keep giving up chunks of yards, oh, God, that Bears rush defense. Again, this is what you're watching, and you're gaining this knowledge last year. If you play fantasy football, you're looking at the Bears' run defense just bend over and open their assholes up and get fucked week after week after week after week, and you're going, ooh, I'm not picking that defense up because I see what's going on with them. Put that knowledge to use in a different way. Pick them up for the Buster Fantasy League and watch them get anally probed every week and rejoice in random anonymous St. Louis Rams running back running for 100 yards against them. Rejoice in Shady McCoy going for about 200 yards against them without breaking a sweat. Rejoice in the Dallas Cowboys run defense getting peeled open in a similar fashion every game last year. Put that knowledge to use in a different way with our Buster Fantasy League. And like I said, we'll keep looking around. Maybe there's another site that'll let us do some more custom stats. But right now, Yahoo is what we got set up. And I think it could be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and, you know, we've got about 3 weeks left or so before we need to have a draft. We're not looking for a lot of teams. We want to keep it small, but like I said, it's really more of we want a small sample size. We really want to just test this out and just kind of see if we're onto something. I think we are. Even if it's limited, I think we are, because fantasy is fantasy. You always want to win. It doesn't matter. You just want to score more points than the other team. It doesn't matter what the criteria are. You want to win. There's a lot of people who don't quite understand the way we play fantasy, real fantasy football, because we do IDP league, which not a lot of people do. Very small percentage of the leagues do what we do, where we actually draft defensive players versus a defensive team. And anytime a new person comes into our league, they just don't get it.
No.
I think it helps. I think it helps you be a little bit more knowledgeable about both sides of the football, makes you appreciate defensive players. This actually will make you appreciate awfulness and stubbornness. And, you know, every week that awful quarterback doesn't get benched is more points for you. You know, I can envision, I like to get that sort of ironic vision of myself on the couch on a Monday night, just because at Monday Night Football, everybody's always waiting for that last fantasy player they have on Monday Night Football, you know, because, oh man, I need 12 points tonight. You know, I can imagine you sitting there watching Monday Night Football, praying that your quarterback throws a pick six. Because you're down by 32 points. The other guy's already played all of his players. And all you need is for whoever's starting for you on Monday Night Football to go out there and throw a pick six. And if it happens early in the game, now you've got an 8-point lead. Now you need to sit on the lead. It's the same when you think about it. It's ultimately, at the end of it, you're trying to beat your opponent at something. You're just trying to be good at recognizing horrible play. And there's so much of it. There's more awful play than there is good play. And it's funny because when you go through and you put in filters for bad play, you see the chunks of points that all these accumulated. Good players. There's good players that you could pick up and have on an awful fantasy football team. I love the concept. We've been kicking it around for years. We're just looking for a test. Not looking for 12 teams with playoffs and all that. We just want to have some fun with this. So I'm hoping we get something, looking for two people to make it legit, maybe four, so we can get this thing off the ground.
Yeah, fantasy is all about trying to show your knowledge and trying to display your love of sports and how better you are at sports than your buddies. You all want to show how much more you know about sports than everybody else. What a great way to show how much you know about sports than knowing exactly which awful suck-ass players to pick up for the Buster Fantasy League. like Jason said, you could be the one sitting there on Monday night getting excited because the Miami defense just gave up another touchdown. You've got the Miami defense. You're watching the yardage and the points go up there. And then you also own Ryan Tannehill. So you can get excited that now Ryan Tannehill has to throw more because Miami is now losing, and Tannehill now has to drop back more in the pocket behind that completely awful offensive line that the Dolphins have, making it possibly, maybe, could it be? It's in the air. The DB's under it. He's got it. It's a pick six, the yellow line to the house, baby. Oh, the big 40-point score. You could be the only guy in the bar celebrating the Ryan Tannehill pick six the other way. And only you would be chuckling underneath knowing how funny that is. But, hey, again, like Jason said, you just want to win. If you got a lot of money in a Buster Fantasy League, you could be the one really chuckling because you could have just made a huge chunk of change that night.
Yeah, I'm not sure if we have marketing potential for this. But you never know. I don't think this is something that the NFL would sanction.
And you don't think the league is going to pop up on NFL.com anytime soon?
No, I don't think you're going to see this on the magazine rack. You know, because they you want to get a laugh? Go and look at your local magazine rack right now for all the like $14 magazines that tell you open up and tell you that LeSean McCoy is good. Oh. Thanks, magazine. You know, we always joked about that because every time ESPN or so or whoever would do a half-hour show about fantasy baseball, this is maybe 5-6 years ago, it's amazing. Oh, you know who's really good? That Albert Pujols. He's good. Let's spend 5 minutes
you're
talking
really
about draft
him.
Yeah. I mean, you'd have to be – the only people watching that show are people who don't know anything about fantasy football or baseball, and they're just playing it for the first time. Because if you actually know what you're doing, you kind of have an idea that Albert Pujols is pretty good. So I don't think we're going to have – I don't think you're going to see any sanctioned material on this. I don't – you know, I think it kind of – it's fun because it also kind of flies in the face of the whole fantasy thing too. It's fantasy,
yeah.
But it's – how good are you at picking really bad players? Really bad players who can stay consistently bad, not just bad for a week, consistently bad players. And we joke because there's so many, especially with quarterbacks, there's so many bad ones. So, I mean,
If there would be a skill to it as well, because you could run and pick up Matt McGloin last year from the Raiders, but he didn't play that much. He got his shot. He proved he was shitty, and they pretty much immediately benched him, which is what you're supposed to do with shitty football players. You know, you could go ahead and draft Christian Ponder last year and see he was shitty, except, you know, Leslie Frazier got a little desperate trying to save his job, eventually decided to bench him, brought on Matt Castle, brought in Josh Freeman, who was just awful, but he didn't last long enough to really rack up any points either. But, yeah, there's a skill to it. It's not just terrible football players. It's terrible football players who also have terrible coaches who keep them on the field much longer than they deserve to be.
I'm excited.
Well, you should be even more excited for next weekend, quite frankly. We spent 20 minutes talking about the Buster Football League and no time talking about the fact that you're about to have an addition to the family. But then again, I don't know how much more you can talk about. I mean, it's going to happen next weekend, and then it's going to be there, and there you have it.
Yeah, it's gonna knock me out of well, next weekend there definitely won't be a show. I mean, it's not going to be a long-term thing. Next Friday or Saturday we go in, and we're anticipating a little baby, our second one. Which is amazing that I have a 2.5-year-old who's never really once interrupted one of our shows. I cannot guarantee we will not have some interesting shows here the next few months if we're doing a show while I'm on daddy duty.
She's going to make her debut soon.
Yeah. Someone's going to either my little one's going to just wake up and come walking up the stairs because she's going to be in a full-size, you know, regular-size bed here soon. So she'll hear daddy on the phone and come walking up the stairs or down the stairs if I'm in the basement. And make an appearance on the show, or I could potentially have a really little one crying during the show. So this is live radio at its best. We've had some good live radio moments. This is on its way. We'll see if we can just top the dead air. We'll just see if we can top the dead air moment that we had when your phone disconnected you for about 6 minutes. That was a fun show. We also have had a couple of instances where the theme music just wouldn't stop. but we have fun. It's fun. Yeah, it'll be exciting. I'll make sure I'll get something posted. So we can have an announcement made, but we don't know if we're having a boy or a girl. We knew the first time. Don't know this time. Sort of the excitement. We didn't go through that. We wanted to know everything and plan everything out with my daughter. So this time we have no clue what we're having. That's what we know. Yeah, we're doing it the old-fashioned way. And we're going to find out right there in the room. Everybody's kind of got their opinion as to what it's going to be, and we'll find out. We're going to do it live.
Fuck it, we'll do it live.
That's right. I'm excited about that. Excited about the football. I'm excited that we're going to be getting into our second full season of doing this, and we're going to be getting into previews and actually start really talking about football again, getting back into what we do. Got to defend my title. I got a lot of stuff going on right now.
Right. I heard it. I got you.
You get to hear it for a whole year. I mean,
and as you pointed out, 3 out of the 4 years that since we've been doing the blog that you've prevailed. So I'm definitely looking like the amateur here. I got to rally with all my little stats and my football outsiders and all my websites and trying to gather all my intel. It hasn't worked out for me thus far, but that's why you put the in much less detail in much less detail.
That's right. I have a reputation to uphold about the less detail. I'm not the big research guy ever. Anybody who's listened to our shows knows that I am not the research guy. I do observe. I just don't pick. I just don't pull shit out of my ass. And that. Oh, that's it. Every pick. No, I mean, I do watch the games. I do read. I do watch recaps. I am around it, so I'm not just making stuff up. Definitely don't dig into the stats the way you do. And there's times it's served you well.
Yeah. And times it really hasn't at all.
Yeah, I was having trouble remembering them, but I know that's happened.
In our last 90 seconds, I actually want to give a shout-out to our buddy Mike at Football Fan Rush Radio, who you may not have been aware of this, but he's got a nephew playing in the Little League World Series. And not just playing, but that team is making national news because they're from the Jackie Robinson West League in Chicago, and they're kicking ass in the Little League World Series. They're getting the job done. And then Trey Hondris himself is making some national news. He got on Deadspin because when you have those little blurbs underneath the name when you get up to bat, you know, they're not going to talk about your, WAR number or your weighted on base percentage. It's Little League. There's nothing to really talk about. So they're going to put a little sentence underneath there, a little blurb like enjoys Captain Crunch for breakfast or something like that. Well, Trey Hondris' little blurb underneath was something along the lines of chats with ladies as a pregame ritual. And if that ain't pimp, I don't know what is. So Trey Hondris, I tell you, he's got more game already than I've had in my entire life. The name Trey Hondris on Google, I'm proud to announce, is up to 8,130 results, and that's quite the thing. I'm sorry, that's pretty impressive as far as I'm concerned. We are out of time. I want the first exclusive interview, by the way, as well, Mike, if you're listening. We are out of time on a live show. We will see you on the other side of this week. We'll be right back. that. And now on to the VIP after show portion of our program, 15 minutes of after talk. And I have no idea what we're going to talk about, but here
well,
we
are. That's okay, because we always find something. See, and it's funny, because I told you during the week I wanted to do a show, and you're like, what are we going to talk about?
What are we going to talk about, yeah.
I gave you the great one-word response, though. stuff.
You said
what we always
stuff.
Talk about. That was stuff. You know, hey, why not? Yeah, have you been watching any preseason football?
Very, very little. That was something I was going to bring up to you. Has there been anything that happened in the preseason that you've noticed or that interests you? Because there hasn't been the little bit that I've seen pretty much has reinforced everything that I already knew about the couple of teams that I've watched. But what have you observed so far?
Yeah, I mean, there's some obvious signs that the teams that you would think would be strong have looked strong in the preseason. Their first teams have looked incredible. There's some teams that you know aren't going to be so good, and they're showing it. I mean, especially on the defensive side, and I think that's where it's really showing is the good teams are coming out and their offenses look really good. Seattle, Green Bay, what you'd expect. Doesn't even look like they need a preseason, which I think goes to the point of, do we need four games in the preseason? But they talk about that every year. There are some teams out there right now that just look game ready, and they're just trying to not get hurt. And then there's and the defensive side of the ball, the kind of the usual suspects who we would expect are bad are really looking bad. We talked about Dallas for Buster fantasy purposes. They look game ready too, off of what they put up last year, and Philadelphia, and you know, just some of these teams. Oh, it's what are you going to do to improve? And you know, there's a lot of teams out there. I just think you can see, unfortunately, in preseason, not a lot of hope. You know, I don't want to give too much away because I'm still putting all my thoughts together for who I like this year and who I don't like and for when we do our preseason. But not too impressed with this extra point, the 33-yard extra point, and still kind of not sure about that. I don't know if they're trying to make it more advantageous to go for two or if they're just trying to decrease the percentages on extra points. I'll tell you who's going to hate this is gamblers or people who pick against the spread like us. Somebody doinks a 33-yard extra point and you get hooked, you're not going to be very happy.
Not at all.
So that's a wrinkle. I know they're testing it in the preseason. I'm not sure if that's officially been moved into the regular season, though, because they keep saying it's a test. So I don't know what that means. I haven't researched enough. I could care less right now because it's preseason. But I'd hate to sit there and have to be thinking about that as one of the possible factors of making a pick. Oh, this guy, they've got a horrible field goal kicker. What if he misses an extra point or two? What? Oh, God. It's hard enough to try to pick these games. Do not throw that wrinkle in there. You just know a touchdown is 7 and just don't mess with it. You know? You want the extra point miss to be like, oh no, they missed an extra point.
Right. Like, what the hell just happened?
Oh, that's going to loom large in the game. You don't want it to be like a normal thing. So not so sure about that. Otherwise, though, because I do work around television sets, I have NFL Network on a lot because they do go through and replay all of the preseason games. So I've actually seen a lot of these games on tape delay. It's fun. I'll tell you, it's better than watching The View.
Oh, well,
you know, or
that's not saying
or Food
much.
Network. Yeah, nothing against the Food Network. I got nothing against the Food Network. There's some quality programming on the Food Network, but I'll watch preseason football over Barefoot Contessa any day.
Gotta throw shade on Barefoot Contessa, man. Come on. According to Pro Football Talk, in week one and week two of this year's preseason, the ball will be spotted at the 20-yard line for extra points, which makes him the equivalent of a 38-yard field goal. So that experiment is not only preseason, but apparently it's going to come to an end after this weekend, which is fine by me because I'm not much of a fan of it either.
So they're just they're accumulating stats, is my guess. They're looking at this to tweak this. This is probably just one of those competition rule committee things. The thing I get more interested in, and we always kind of highlight it and kind of lampoon it a little bit in the first 2 weeks of the regular season, are the points of emphasis. Ooh, the big points of emphasis. So I haven't picked up enough yet on what they're going to be, but I'm sure as we get in a little deeper into the preseason here, you're going to see, oh, they're going to call this a little tighter, and they're going to do this. It's almost always going to screw the defense. So just know that.
Oh,
any point
it
of
is.
Emphasis. Any point of emphasis is going to screw the defense.
I've watched maybe parts of like three or four preseason games so far, and not only is the points of emphasis obvious, but it's like ruining the game. If it keeps up like this when the season starts, it's going to be terrible. It's what they're emphasizing is the illegal contact that when the defensive back chucks the receiver after the 5-yard bubble off the line of scrimmage, they've been calling that incredibly tight in the games that I've seen. And that's going to really put a wrinkle in anyone trying to pick the Seattle Seahawks to repeat as champions, because that basically speaks to the reason I picked against them in the Super Bowl was I thought it was going to be a closely officiated game because I didn't think the NFL wanted that to be on display, that style of football that the Legion of Boom brings. I thought that was going to be something that they would crack down and make sure that the Golden Boy, Peyton Manning, I know Tom Brady's the Golden Boy, but the Golden Boy of the Super Bowl, Peyton Manning, would be able to do what he could do without any pressure, without his receivers getting molested downfield. And that wasn't the case. The game was called pretty straight, and the better team that day won, clearly. But this year in the preseason thus far, it's really it's you could almost call it the Seahawk rule or the LOB rule, because they are really on top of the DBs making contact downfield after 5 yards. And there's been a couple of them where I've seen where the DB is sort of standing in center field. They're in a 2-deep zone, just kind of standing there, and the receiver makes his break out of his route 25 yards downfield and makes contact with the DB, and they've called a flag on the defensive back. And it's like, okay, what is he supposed to do? He's just standing there. And if the receiver runs straight at him as fast as he can and then makes a break and puts his hands out, what's the defensive back supposed to do? Of course, he's going to put his hands out just to protect himself from the wide receiver making contact that's running at him full speed. And so far what I've seen is that's going against the defensive back every single time. And if that is how it's going to be played, then it's going to be really, really ugly. The games are going to last 4.5 hours from all the flags. The offense is going to never get off the field. Every third down, even if it's 3rd and 26, is going to be converted because of a penalty. I don't like the point of emphasis so far at all. I think it stinks. And most points of emphasis that we've seen through our history of watching football, I think you would agree with me, that doesn't last a whole season. That'll last maybe anywhere between 2 and 5 weeks or so. And eventually referees get back to refereeing the games the way they usually referee them, because you can't really keep that up all the time. You eventually get back to doing what you are comfortable doing, and that in a lot of referees' cases would be just to let the game happen on the field and not call that ticky-tack shit all the time.
Well, and I think the other point of that, too, is it becomes, like you said, I mean, it almost starts to have an impact negatively on the game, and it starts to ruin the game. And I think the point of emphasis is more about making a point, getting a point across, kind of trying to get this into the players' heads to change the way they look at the thing. And then after a while, you might have a couple of weeks where it's like, oh crap, these are being called way too much. Or like you're saying, because I have seen this happen a couple of times, receivers running into guys or just initiating contact, and then they're flagging the DB a couple. And I have seen that a few times already in the preseason. Saw it twice today. Saw it once in the Green Bay St. Louis game, and then I saw it also in the San Diego-Seattle game on a pick six. Seattle had a pick six from their end zone, ran it all the way, 105 yards. They called this illegal contact.
And they called it back?
Called it back. When you see the replay, and this is and this is where it's usually driven by. It's going to be driven by the announcers. I hate to say it, but there will be a call like that on Monday Night Football, and they'll get somebody all riled up. But the announcers, they show the replay of these two guys, and it's basically just the guy playing offense and the guy playing defense. They both kind of have their hands up. DB makes a quick reaction, pulls his hands around, gets his hands on the ball. Oh, that was somehow illegal contact. Even though they're both hand-fighting through the play, that was suddenly illegal contact. And it came back. And the announcers are like, wow, this is horseshit. So you get enough of those, or you have that moment where it's like, uh-oh, we screwed up here, guys. You kind of have that replacement ref moment.
But you know what, Jason? It has to be the right voice, though. It's got to have to be somebody that's respected that does that. It has to be like if they have Bob Costas up there having a commentary about it on Sunday Night Football or something like that.
Yeah.
Or Al Michaels making the comment. Because certain guys can say that and no one's going to pay any attention. Chris Berman can bitch all he wants about a call and no one cares because he's Chris Berman and no one gives a shit. It's going to have to be the right voices to have a comment about it. And certain guys, John Gruden is such a joke at this point. People are doing imitations of him. Guys are, making money off of imitating him. Certain guys are not going to be able to say anything because anything they say at this point is a complete joke. Gruden apparently, whatever this Thursday night telecast or Friday night, there was a special Friday night edition of Monday Night Football last night.
Oh, wonderful.
We've talked about that many times before. My wife noticed that because she's looking up and there's all this imaging of Monday Night Football in between plays as they show the replay. And she's looking at me and she's going, why did it say Monday Night Football? And I said, because it's Monday Night Football. It's a special Friday night edition of Monday Night Football. But anyway, so Gruden apparently was going on and on about, like, the punters and, the third-string guys. And so he's got no credibility. He's already getting made fun of. It's the second week of preseason. So, yeah, you're right. Announcers are going to drive how much outrage there is about some of these bad calls, but only certain announcers. Some guys are just going to get laughed at.
Yeah, no, and I'm with you on that. And throughout the league that there are certain guys who are going to be able to pull a little bit more weight, whether you like them or not. Jim Nance and Phil Sims. Yeah, it might sound like he's calling the masters out there, but he's got friends. a little more. Hello, friends. Yeah, a little more weight. Even Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, because they're not a mockery. But then there's some of the guys where it's like you said with Gruden. Gruden, oh, this guy. Nobody's going to take him seriously.
No.
If he's the one firing off. But if it's Mike Tirico won't shut up about it, then maybe you'll hear about it. You got Al Michaels, but, you got Chris Collinsworth. But Chris Collinsworth is going to be too busy talking about Sean Lee for any of it to matter.
Oh, unfortunately, he's already out for the year, right? He hurt himself again, so he won't be able to.
He's already done for the year, and they will. And I guarantee you, the first time they do a Cowboy game and somebody rips off a run up the middle, Chris Collinsworth will say, that's right where Sean Lee would have been. Watch, it will happen.
You'll have it all queued up.
I have predicted.
We were talking last. Last time we talked off the air about when are we going to do the preseason preview show. Last year we did it like literally a couple of days before the Thursday night opener. Are we going to go there again? Are we going to be a little earlier? Or how do you think we're going to do that?
Yeah, I'm thinking of shooting Labor Day weekend. Does that sound feasible?
Sounds like a plan. Look for us Labor Day
something
weekend, folks.
We'll... Trust me, I'll know a little more next weekend.
Of course.